I want to speak to Gary McAllister from the Northern Ireland Supporters Club, the amalgamation of Northern Ireland supporters. Gary, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Gary, it's a good version, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not bad. It's nice when they add a few verses coming up to the Euros. So, yeah, that's a bit of fun. Why not?
So, Gary, do I get a sense that you're taking this very seriously now that you've got an embassy? You're an ambassador.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's something we've done on an ad hoc basis for many years, Frank. Whereas other countries like England and Germany have been doing this for, you know, since the 1980 World Cup, and their friends in the Football Sport Federation in England receive very significant financial support from government every year, and, you know, are able to employ staff, although they do work around club football in England as well. So with qualification for finals, we felt that it was only right that, you know, we try and deliver a more professional service. But in saying that, the work that we have done has been recognised quite significantly. We're part of a network called Football Supporters Europe, which has members in something like 46 countries in Europe, over 3 million individual fans in it, and we're recognised as one of the sort of core countries within that who deliver a fans embassy. So we're part of a small group from across Europe who are recognised as delivering an embassy support service for fans around Northern Ireland away games, which is held up as a sort of benchmark for others.
So where is the embassy based? Is this going to be an embassy within the city, a temporary embassy within the city that Northern Ireland's playing during the Euros in?
Yeah, we'll have a what's called a static embassy on match days and also in the morning after games. We're just still finalising the venues with the French authorities. Obviously, we have to bear in mind, you know, the situation in France, and the authorities have to be happy with the location. But we'll provide that on match days. But we also will have a 24/7 mobile phone network, which we operate for all Northern Ireland away games anyway. And we have 50 people who have volunteered to be ambassadors to support what we're doing. So, you know, we'll have a visible presence wherever fans are, you know, on the streets and in the fan zones and at the games as well.
So is it like an SOS bus type service that you're using, or is it not as drastic as that?
Well, I mean, there are different situations we've had to deal with over the years. Probably the most common one has been lost passports, and obviously we can't replace a passport. We can advise people how they can have their passport replaced, and we've had to do that in a few countries. We've had issues where maybe someone has got separated from, you know, the supporters are with. We've been able to find where the people, where the rest of our group were, been able to get them on the supporters bus. So that's a sort of small type of thing that we've been able to do in other countries where people have maybe left home without their tickets. I know that happened in Israel, for example. Now, unfortunately, in France, UEFA have said tickets can't be replaced. But, you know, small things like that we've helped people with. Another example was in Greece. Three guys decided the day after we beat the Faroe Islands that they were going to Greece, which was 2 days before the game. It was too late to apply for tickets, so we were able to help those people to get their tickets on the day of the game. So just a few examples of small things that we can do, but it's just to have that presence or to be a point of contact. We can direct people towards the British Embassy or indeed the Irish Consulate, and we also have a relationship there with the PSNI, who will have a number of officers in France, so we can help people if they find themselves in a situation where they need that sort of help.
And how will they find your static position in each of the three cities?
Well, once we have finalised the locations and had them confirmed by the French authorities, we will confirm where they are through the media. We'll also be using our social media platforms quite a lot. We have a Twitter account, which is at AONISC_travel, or on Facebook, we are just simply the Amalgamation. So we'll be using those platforms to get the information out. The location of our embassy has been confirmed for Lyon. The fan zone is in the main square in the centre of Lyon, called, I think, Place Bellecour. And there's a tourist information office just at the periphery of the fan zone, and the fans' embassy will be located in there on the afternoon of the game. The other two cities, we're just waiting for confirmation of the location, then we'll publicise that.
And the ambassadors, are these guys who are actually going to be going to the games as well, or are they going across separately to help the fans?
No, I mean, people like myself, We're paying to travel to France. We're paying for accommodation. You know, we're going as fans as we would. They're all members of our clubs, and we put out a request within the amalgamation asking for people who might be interested and willing to get involved and to help. And there were in total 50 people, but that includes people like myself, and they come from all parts of Northern Ireland. We had an event 2 weeks ago when we had Kevin Edge from the Football Supporters Federation, who oversees the English fans embassy, and we had people there from as far away as, you know, Milford and Kildarmah, Enniskillen, Londonderry, Cookstown. So we had people from all across Northern Ireland who came along to give their time and to support what we're trying to do.
It seems like a very useful service that you're going to provide, and it's very decent of the 50 people to give their time when they're actually on their holidays and enjoying themselves and maybe wanting to let their hair down too. But I suppose you feel more part of it if you are helping others as well, because there'll be an incredible buzz with all of that. And it's a fine example of volunteering on any CV as well. Now, whenever you get to the area where the game is going to be, there will be fan zones. And I notice in the Lawns area where England are going to be playing Wales, it's going to be a dry city with the exception of the fan zone for the best part of 24 hours. Are there any worries or concerns that Northern Ireland fans mightn't be able to get a drink in the cities that they go to?
No, well, obviously there are the three fan zones in the various cities. The one in Lyon is in a square which holds, I think, 25,000 people. The one in Nice can accommodate 10,000 people. The one in Paris can accommodate something like 120,000 people. We'd like to be in the queue to try and get a drink in Paris. But the police have said, you know, in particular in Nice, there is another street, which is the Flower Market, which is Courcelles, where there are numerous bars and restaurants. Supporters will be able to go there. We estimate that could hold it in itself maybe 3,000 people in the bars and restaurants, as well as the fan zone. So I think the issue with Lawns is that it's quite a small city, and having attended an information event in Paris, which was organised by UEFA, each of the host cities had to give a presentation. The presentation in Lawns was a little surprising, because, you know, it sounded almost like they were encouraging England and Wales fans not to stay in Lawns because they didn't have the sufficient bed spaces for people to stay, and that it was quite a small city. So it was quite surprising sitting and listening to that Lawns was hosting a game. I think they maybe didn't want the game which would attract such big numbers. But, you know, it's a finals tournament, and if you look at all of the countries, the numbers of fans who are going to support their teams, I mean, it's always likely that they're going to be sort of swamped with people who want to go along and be part of a great occasion.
Well, certainly the countdown is well and truly on, Gary. I suppose people will be asking why the IFA don't provide the service that you're providing.
Well, it's a fans-led initiative. It is organised through Football Supporters Europe, and Football Supporters Europe has existed since 2008, and we're a member organisation of that group. In order for Fans Embassy to be recognised by AFSC, it must be fans-led and fans-driven, although they do encourage support and a partnership with your National Football Association, government and police where possible. And we've been able to achieve all of that, but it's described as for fans by fans.
Okay, and it's certainly worked elsewhere, and now it's hopefully going to work for Northern Ireland. Also, it's almost upon us, Gary. Gary, I've known you down the years, having interviewed you for radio and television, and you never really get excited. Are you excited about this?
I am indeed, Frank. Listen, I come on here and perform a role for an organisation. And, you know, that's quite different from how excited to get about going to watch Northern Ireland. Believe me, if I were able to come on and speak about football issues and about the match, you would see maybe a different side to me. Whenever I come on talking about this sort of embassy and other issues, it has to be a sort of more straight-laced approach. But in terms of football, I mean, I've been following Northern Ireland for 26 years. I honestly never thought I would see this day where we would be in the finals of a tournament, and, you know, yes, I'm very excited as anybody else about this.
And might there be somewhere along the line tears of joy from Gary McAllister?
I've had tears of despair over the years watching Northern Ireland, but qualification was probably as close as I've came to that. and just to be part of it all. And to see a Northern Ireland team taking the pitch at the finals, I think for us all, it's something we should all be proud of and something we should all really go along and experience and really enjoy every last second of it.
And what about this training camp that's in the Republic of Ireland? What do you think of that?
Well, I can understand Michael's logic. I know he's trying to sort of keep the players focused. And, you know, there is a huge buzz around Northern Ireland where everyone wants to be part of what's going on. And even in terms of interest our organisation has had from media organisations who would normally, you know, not be in contact with us or have no interest in Northern Ireland football. So I think Michael's trying to keep the players focused. You know that after Friday's game, there's a couple of days and then they're travelling to, I think it's Austria, for a training camp and then they play Slovakia. So I think he's trying to keep the players focused and probably to have them slightly detached from that, because we've also had a camp in Manchester last week, and I think he's trying to vary it up a little bit as well.
Yeah, and it's a very good point. This is not about razzmatazz now. This is about the serious business of trying to qualify for the knockout stages. Gary, good speaking to you. Enjoy the trip.
Thanks very much, Frank.
That is our chief ambassador with the Northern Ireland, I was going to say with the Northern Ireland Assembly, with the Northern Ireland Embassy. It is Gary McAllister.